Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
The experience in Pennsylvania and the reason I and other of my colleagues have...
My name is Zach. I'm from Austin, Texas.
The reforms making their way through Congress will hold Wall Street accountable.
She's afraid for her life. She's scared.
Famous Phil Hendrick Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Laughs, too. We go anywhere. We'll do anything for laughs. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Take a look at our live streaming video right now of our show, live streaming audio of the show, a huge archive of material as well as all kinds of other archived stuff, a news feed you can participate in, and a guaranteed email response, all kinds of things happening at philhendryshow.com. Plus, we're going to be available for download at iTunes real soon. Margaret Gray is joining us. She, the... writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes a column called A Little Bird Told Me, which is syndicated across this country on 150 newspapers weekly. And Margaret joins us to talk about a story. And I know every week, Margaret, we'll bring on some story that may interest you for a column. This has to do with, I know that you're the mother of a teenage boy, and so this might have some interest for you. A Salt Lake City woman has been charged with... By the way, good evening to you, Margaret.
Good evening, Phil. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
I didn't want you to...
No, I know you're not ignoring me. I know you get very focused.
All right. A Salt Lake City woman has been charged with felonies and is accused of digitally pasting the head of a 13-year-old girl onto flyers depicting bestiality, then distributing those flyers at the girl's school.
Oh, God.
Court charges say the 37-year-old woman sought to retaliate against the girl for, quote, perceived wrongs. Now, get this. She's 37 years of age, and she took the picture of this 13-year-old girl that she wanted to hurt somehow. She scotch-taped or glued the picture of this girl onto the body of some woman engaged in a sex act with a dog, and spread these around the school. Now, a custodian at Northwest Middle School in Salt Lake City found the flyers in a girl's restroom. The flyers showed a naked female in a sex act with a dog, and someone had altered the picture of the female to include the head of the 13-year-old, according to these court documents. The flyer also used this girl's name.
All right. I wanted to find out whether or not they used it. They did.
Yes, this woman did. And
we know the name of the woman.
Her name is Danette Stark.
Danette Stark.
Yeah. Police said in court documents, that's the name of the 37-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Police said in court documents they reviewed surveillance video and they saw the defendant enter the restroom, so they got her dead to rights. The woman later admitted to police she made the flyers, according to these court documents. She is charged with 18 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. Each count is a second-degree felony punishable by 1 to 15 years in prison and could force the woman to register as a sex offender. And of course, what comes to mind immediately for me, and I don't know if it does for other people, is this Lori Drew.
Well, Lori Drew was a little bit different, but I understand what you're saying, the MySpace mom.
Yeah, well, she had a fake profile.
Well, it does seem to be the same kind of revenge act, and it does seem to come from the mind of, or from the minds of women that are similar. It's a very interesting story, Phil. I had not heard this. And where was this again?
This is in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, Utah. So, you know, what do you think of that? I mean, I really want to know, for my own edification here, what is it about some women that they feel competitive with a 13-year-old child?
Well, let's back up a little bit, Phil, and let's look at this from, I think, a little bit more of a realistic standpoint. I think what this woman did was absolutely despicable. And I think we have to start there. I think what Lori Drew did is absolutely despicable. And we have to start there as well. it is difficult to really formulate a good, firm opinion about this, though, because there are so many variables.
Well, what variables are there? I mean, you have a 13-year-old...
Well, you've got the 13-year-old. What was that about? What was this child... Let's find out what this child might have been engaged in.
Well, what does that have to do with anything, you know?
Well, hold on, Phil. I agree with you. It doesn't have anything to do with it. I also want to hear what Dennett Stark, what Lori Drew, what they were up against, what they thought they saw, what they thought they heard, what they thought they knew. I don't think that treating a child this way is at all the right thing to do. I think it is disgusting, and obviously these women have earned, they've earned a relative amount of condemnation, but I want you to know something, Phil. I have a, you know, I've got a 13-year-old son. Jason J. Delmonico is my son. Now, you know how these teenage girls are.
Now, hold on for just a minute, okay?
I want to say this about my son, though.
No, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, Margaret. You're bringing up your son. You're bringing up this girl. You're bringing up, you know, what it... This doesn't have anything to do with this, in my opinion.
Well, now, you brought me on your program because I do issues relative not only to celebrity but to family. So I want to give you a look at reality from another side. I've got a 13-year-old son who, as you know, Phil, is a professional performer. So he has been in television shows. He has done TV commercials and so forth. Girls recognize him. All right, enough said. Girls want to meet him. All right, enough said. Girls imagine themselves being his girlfriend. Okay, fine. Is it going to happen? No, it isn't. Am I going to let... A 13-year-old going on 25, get their hands on my son? No, I'm not. Do I understand the attraction? Yes, I do. Do I want...
No, all right, I understand where you're going.
But do I want my son, do I want these girls, these 13-year-olds going on 25, do I want them sinking their mud hooks into my boy? And the answer to that, Phil, I think, is no. And I think you can understand, from a certain standpoint, why a mother defends a son.
But we don't know that that's the case with this woman.
We don't, but I'm speculating. There are a number of things. I don't know whether this woman has a son. And again, Phil, I want to be very clear. I'm not excusing this woman's behavior at all. I think there are... I think that there is universal condemnation for any woman that would take the picture of a 13-year-old girl and put it on pornography like that and spread it around the school where this child attends and not be held accountable. Now, having said that, if this... All right, I'll say it. If this brat is trying to get her hooks into this woman's son. You know something, Phil? All bets are off. Now, I'm not...
Well, what does that mean, all bets are off? Because, you know, we're talking about little teenagers. They're 13 years of age.
I am not saying, Phil, that this child is... It should not be treated like a child. But a mother protecting a son, it is a very special relationship, especially if there is not a very present father. And I'm not making a comment now about Frank. Frank, I'm not talking about... I'm not making... But Jason J. Delmonico's father is very... Jason J. is 13, all right?
Yeah.
His father is 74 years of age. Who is the primary parent? I am.
Margaret, I can't hear you if you're going to whisper, okay?
I'm sorry, but the fact of the matter is, there isn't a lot that I wouldn't do for my son. As a matter of fact, Phil, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my son. And that includes, if I have to, keeping every 13-year-old that's 13 going on 30, okay?
Yeah.
Keeping them as far away from my son as I can get them. Now, there are a lot of women out there that have daughters. They don't have sons. I've seen them. They dress their daughters up. They dress like their daughters. So the two of them are walking down the street on their way to wherever it is the boy is working or where he has his football game. They're both dressed very provocatively, I think in many instances inappropriately. All right, so inappropriately.
I understand what you're saying. You're talking about mothers and daughters, and they're trying to trap a young man.
Yes. Well, if I see that hanging around my son, if I see the mother-daughter team, and I see any attempt at tag-teaming my boy, friend, let me tell you what.
All right, well, the term tag-team is inappropriate.
I don't know that it is.
All right, but you have said here, Margaret, and at being the mother of a boy, I understand. You want to protect your son, I understand. But you're saying to me, and you're saying to my audience, you don't like what this woman did. She took the picture of a 13-year-old child. She put it on a model engaged in a bestial act with a dog so that it looked like it was a 13-year-old girl. And she spread these flyers all through the school. A 37-year-old woman. You're excusing that.
I most certainly am not excusing that, Phil. That is very unfair of you. I have said over and over and over again, I don't like it. I'm simply saying, having said that, if that girl had lured my boy into doing something that was going to distract him terminally from his career, you know something? I'm not saying I would do what that mother did, but I might get a subscription to one of those magazines at least. And that's how sick it is. That's what happens to a mother.
A subscription to what?
To a bestial magazine. That's what happens to your mind. That's how you want to protect your boy. You start fantasizing. You start thinking, can I cut these pictures out? Can I put her head on these pictures? How far can I go with this? What are my options?
All right. 877-876-PHIL. All right, so we're hearing from Margaret Gray. She's a mother of a son. We're talking here about a 37-year-old woman who retaliated against a 13-year-old girl by making up flyers showing sex between a woman and a dog and putting this child's face on that of the female model in the picture. And this 37-year-old woman is sending these flyers around the school. Margaret Gray is the mother of a boy. And while she says that she decries this kind of thing, if it was her son that this 13-year-old were after, and she's speculating that maybe that's the story with this woman, then all bets are off. 877-876-PHIL. Let's continue talking. What would you do to protect a son of yours if a little girl was after him? Would you go as far as this woman? Is there anything in the experience of anyone listening to me tonight that would justify an adult woman doing this to a 13-year-old, defaming, slandering a 13-year-old? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Margaret Gray from the Little Bird Told Me nationally syndicated column. Now, a Salt Lake City woman has been charged with felonies and is accused of digitally pasting the head of a 13-year-old girl onto flyers depicting bestiality, then distributing those flyers at the girl's school. Court charges say the 37-year-old woman sought to retaliate against the girl for perceived wrongs. Now, you're saying, Margaret, it could be that this girl was after this woman's son.
That's a possibility, yes. I don't know, but I know that in cases like these, you're really dealing with a very protective mother, and it could very well be a situation where this child has, for instance, in my case, where my son, as I mentioned to you, Phil, is a professional actor. That's exciting for a 13-year-old girl. They are going to come hovering around. They're going to be hanging around him. And I have to have my antenna up for that. I can't let someone else's problem infect my boy.
Well, no, what do you call it someone else's problem? You know, are you saying that that girl is...
Well, I'm saying if there are girls still that are not behaving themselves or acting in a rational way, if they are flirting, if they are trying to get my son's attention, if they are, in fact, trying to lure him into some sort of, even at that age, physical act, I have got to be on the lookout for that. I've got to look at that, and I've got to say, you know what? There is no way in God's good green earth that I'm going to let that slut get...
Well, isn't that a little strong for a kid?
Get her hands... I'm sorry?
Isn't that a little strong to be calling a 13-year-old a slut?
No, it is not, Phil. You have to understand, I'm not really complaining about the girl so much as I am the mother, and the mother is the one. You know, you show me a 13-year-old slut, and I'll show you a mother that is as every bit as loose and as crude. How do I protect my son from that? I protect my son by firstly going up to that girl and saying, I would rather that you not bother my boy anymore, or I talk to the mother. But that's not going to do a lot of good.
Why not?
Well, because the mother already knows what her daughter is after. She probably approves of it. That's why mother and daughter generally dress in similar ways. They're trying to entrap the young male. So I would talk directly to the girl and say, that is my son. I don't really know what you have in mind, whether it's a solo or a tag team.
Hold on. Now you're going way over my head.
No, I'm talking to the 13-year-old. I'm saying, is this a solo or are you tag teaming him?
And what does that mean?
Is this her or is this her and her mother?
Yeah, but if you're Margaret, here's what I'm asking you. You're asking a 13-year-old child, okay?
No, I know she's 13. I get that.
Well, you're asking this 13-year-old child, is this a solo or are you tag teaming my son?
Yes, they understand.
All right, so...
So if that doesn't work, if she's still coming at him, that's when I've got to do something a little more drastic. In the case of this mother, I am theorizing she had talked to the young lady. She asked her if it was solo, it was a tag team. No, yes, no, yeah, whatever. Then she went out and she got these photographs, and she got to work with the sisters. I don't know.
But you do not condone this, but you understand it.
I don't condone it at all, but if you've got a 13-year-old that is looking to tag team...
You know, Margaret, I got to interrupt you right here because I'm not comfortable with you continually using this if you got a 13-year-old who's going to tag team your son with her mother.
No, you don't know how old these girls are. They're 13, but they're much, much older. Now, I can tell you that I've seen some of the notes that they send my son. They've got comments in there having to do with bondage. They've got comments in there having to do with backdoor. They've got
13-year-old girls.
Some of them are 13, yes. Some of them are women in their 20s. But most of them, yes, are 13 or 14.
Well, I will tell you that if that's what's going on with your son, then you obviously have every right to protect him. But my question is, why would you, as a grown-up woman, go out and put pictures of this girl, have pictures of her on bestiality photographs and ruin her reputation that way?
Well, I don't understand. I mean, she thinks she's so special. She thinks that she's going to put her hooks into your son. You want to teach her a lesson. She thinks she's so popular. She thinks she has all these friends. She thinks she's got all of these intimates. And you do want to put her in her place. I don't understand your question. You know,
well, why wouldn't you? You said why wouldn't you go to the mother? And I think you said you went to the mother because you wouldn't go to the mother because the mother is encouraging it.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to the mother, but you know what you're going to be getting is a blank stare. You're going to be getting a pill head looking back at you, Phil. Believe me, I know. Believe me, it is better to deal with the girl at that particular point.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Margaret Gray here about this incident in Salt Lake City where a 37-year-old woman put the picture of a 13-year-old girl on some bestiality photos and turned it into a flyer and spread it all through this middle school. Ms. Gray is speculating that this woman has a problem with this little girl because of the possibility this girl is after this woman's son. And in that case, you go right after the girl. You don't even talk to the mother because you're going to be talking to a pillhead who dresses just like her daughter. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right.
Where'd Margaret go?
I don't know, man, but all night long she's been talking to me and saying, am I on next? Am I on next? Am I on next? I said, no. We went along with Steve Bozell, and she's like, well, and she said something about bathroom habits.
Yeah, I think she kept saying she had to go to the bathroom.
So maybe she went off to the bathroom. Maybe she just went to bed. I don't care, really. Al Gore abuse masseuse eyes $1 million to talk, claims to have stained pants with Gore's DNA.
That's just like the Monica Szczynski story, and just like that.
Yeah, but you know what, man? I believe in Monica Lewinsky. I don't believe this.
I agree with you, Robert. I think this is a horse dung story from the gate. Now I know it is. A masseuse who accused Al Gore of being a crazed sex poodle and of groping her in a hotel room is prepared to come forward and sell her story for $1 million.
Yeah, well, why don't you believe it?
Well, because the whole thing is weird, man. I told you last night, number one. First she goes to the cops. Then she doesn't want to give a statement. Then she does go to the cops again, and the cops say there's no evidence. And remember, she's got some pants with Gore's DNA on them, okay?
Yeah, well, maybe she lost them in a hamper or something.
Oh, will you get serious?
What do you mean lost them?
They could have been buried down under a towel or anything. You probably found pants that are stained.
Hey, bud, what do you mean I found pants that are stained? Of course I have.
All right, but you didn't even know they were there, did you?
I find stuff all the time, man. I go to the bottom of a hamper, I can find clothes that I haven't seen in a long time, yeah. Are you trying to tell me, oh, this is what she did? Hey, Al, why don't you leave your pants here, man, and I'll have them dry cleaned for you. What are you talking about? Think about what you're saying. All right, sources tell Page Six of the New York Post the so-far unidentified Oregon woman is ready to publicly reveal herself and heap more embarrassment on the former vice president in return for a seven-figure media deal. And she intends to use the pants she wore on the night of the alleged incident, or her pants, supposedly stained with Gore's DNA, and stored in a bank safety deposit box as evidence against Gore, who recently split with wife Tipper. The reason why I don't believe this is because the timeline as it's been described so far is that she went to the cops, she backed off, she went to the cops again, and the cops this time backed off. The cops said, well, we want you to press charges the first time. No, I don't want to do that. You sure? Yeah. Goes back to the cops.
Yeah.
And the cops go, well, what do you got? And the cops say, we're not going to press this. There's no evidence. I'm sorry.
What about, she didn't, her pants weren't stained then?
I guess if she had stained pants back in 2006, she would have had stained pants in 2009, man. You know?
Same pants, huh?
Yeah, the same pants. I don't know, I guess. Says here, one pair of pants. So anyway, now what does she say? After two times at bat with the cops, the first time she walks away, the second time the cops say, we're not interested, no evidence, now she's going to the media. And she's got stained pants. Remember what I said last night? I said, this sounds like Lewinsky, sort of, not because I think the woman's in love. It sounds consensual, and forgive me, because I know that a great many women have had to fight this battle down to the years. No, I did not consent. Oh, you were asking for... I understand. And I don't mean to impugn or diminish any of those very real claims. But in this instance, only in this instance, okay?
Only in this instance, but no other.
No, not only in this instance, but no other, but in this instance here, okay?
But other ones, too.
Yeah, I'm sure other ones, too, yeah.
Well, then how many would that be?
Oh, I don't know. What do you mean, how many would that be? I don't know. This one and a few others, all right?
All right.
So, in this instance, it is beginning to appear to me that this woman, on some level, believes she did consent. And so there isn't really a criminal case.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean, man. So why even press the issue with a cop? You go down to New York, go to the media in New York and get a book deal.
Get a book deal, get a, I don't know what the hell she'd get, you know, magazine deal, you know, whatever, you know. And the cop thing is not going to happen because it's kind of weird, but this may be. You can tell this story to the media. It doesn't have to be rape. It can be consensual. It can be, yeah, sure, I had sex with Al Gore. And the next thing you know, it's even cooler that way because there isn't any crime. It is two consenting adults doing something really nasty, and he's the vice president of the United States. And so there you go. Now, a source tells Page Six of the New York Post she's ready to come forward and sell the story with even more salacious details. Good Lord, who is the source? But she wants $1 million. Her attorney is shopping for a deal, and while there are many media outlets interested, there are negotiations going on because the price tag is way too high. Here, then, an unidentified friend of the masseuse talks with a Fox TV affiliate in Portland, Oregon, in a series of clips talking about the alleged victim.
She's afraid for her life. She's scared because of who he is. When he came back into town, and she freaked. And I said, why don't you come and stay with me? Her cell phone is like full up. She's not answering it. Her Facebook went offline. She's deleted everything. She's going into seclusion. She's wonderful. She doesn't lie. She doesn't make up stories.
She did call and say,
things are bad.
And then she just hung up really fast.
Yeah. Well, that lady says she's a really cool person and everything. She's not going to lie. So maybe he did fondle it.
What's so funny, man?
Just the way Bud put stuff, maybe he did fondle it.
Well, don't you think?
No, man, I don't. I'm sure she didn't lie. But I don't know what she said, you know? She doesn't want to talk to the cops. Then she does want to talk to the cops. The cops don't want to talk to her. Then she says, screw the cops. I'll go to the magazine. I'll go to the newspaper, whatever. I'll go to a, you know. I don't know what she said so far. I'm not saying she's a liar. I'm just saying, I don't think she believes she's got anything to say to the police. And this stuff about being scared to death, you know, people ought to grow up, man. What is this, a Tom Clancy novel? He is the vice president. You know, things have happened to people. Really? Have things happened to people? Monica Lewinsky is still around, isn't she? Monica Lewinsky's still alive. She's still living her life. Why don't you get online with Jason, find out what Monica Lewinsky's doing. She ain't dead. Is she dead? Was she killed? He's the president of the United States. He's the guy that has that at his disposal at any given moment. CIA, FBI, National Security Agency. He's got the SEALs. He's got the Delta Force. He's got the badassest cats that ever walked. He's got everything, man. The president of the United States, Monica Lewinsky, is still around. How about that what's-her-face, that one that was having the affair with John F. Kennedy? She was around much. She was given interviews as recently as the 80s and 90s, that woman. What was her name?
Judith Reagan or something, right?
What do you mean, Judith Reagan? You mean the publisher?
No. I mean, I forget.
Anyway, I think her name was Judith something. She's around. Nobody had her killed. Okay? Lady, whoever you are, Miss Masseuse, it was a vice president. It wasn't a president. If they didn't kill him for, you know, having sex with a president, they're going to do nothing to you. It was a vice president. Monica Lewinsky is still around, was recently seen hanging out with Alan Cummings, the actor. Okay, that's the latest that we've got. Well, what's she doing for a living? Where's she working? Where's she living? You know. But she's still around. So get off that kick, because nobody's going to believe that jazz about, oh, well, the fight, you know, you could be killed. Okay, let's get our heads out of the movie theater for 5 seconds and get it back into real life. The woman filed a police statement accusing Gore of sexual abuse after a massage at Portland's Hotel Lucia in October of 2006.
All right, now right there. Stop right there. She said that he touched on her, okay? Now that, why don't you want to believe that?
Will you hold on for a minute, bud?
He ain't even done, man.
Yeah, but why won't he believe it?
Will you hold on for a minute? I haven't even gotten 5 seconds into it. She goes to the cops in 2006. She claims it was abuse. The statement described how during the session, he allegedly began to demand that I go lower. It appeared that he was demanding sexual favors or sexual behaviors. Now, please understand, and I'm not complaining, but you must know the timeline here. She went to the cops in December of 06. This happened in October of 06. That's 2 months. Okay, fine. I understand. He's the vice president. She was scared. But I just, you know, want to say that.
What are you saying? She's thinking about whether the guy touched her?
No, man. I'm not saying that. God, dude, don't get so...
Bro, you just... You don't want to believe in the rights of women.
Oh, don't give me that bull crap.
Yeah, man, you know what? He got some fan mail. Now he thinks that he's going to be, you know, protecting a lady and all that.
No, I got one letter from a lady.
Oh, so now all of a sudden you're Mr. Gallant? Give it a rest, bud. Monica Lewinsky is that the only... That's the only thing we got. Will you go give him a hand?
All right.
She's hanging out with Alan Cummings. That's what we found out in the last 10 minutes. Anyway, she says he grabbed my right hand. He shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic area. He said to me there in a very sharp, loud, angry-sounding tone. She added he had a dramatic display of violent temper as well as an extremely dictatorial, commanding attitude. Besides his Mr. Smiley global warming concern persona, I did not want to get hurt and I did not want to get raped. Wow. Portland police say the investigation was dropped because there was insufficient evidence to support the allegations, and the woman declined to seek prosecution. That was in 2006. Gore spokeswoman Kaylee Kreider, who declined comment after the Enquirer broke the story early this week, did not get back to the Enquirer after last night. Later on, and this is why the New York Post won't print, or didn't print, because they don't... You know, they don't, there wasn't anything sexy about it. Later on in 09, she went back to the cops. The cops said, we don't have any evidence. And now she's going to the media. As far as Monica Lewinsky is concerned, she's studying for a master's in social psychology in Britain. All right, so that's the story there. 877-876-PHIL. We promised to get back to the Neil Cavuto being called an a-hole, and we will. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Courthouse News Service, El Reno Tribune, The Oklahoman, and our producer Jason Rantz has filed this story. Police taser disabled grandmother after taking aggressive posture in her bed, but is it the whole story? This is another one of those stories, you know, that needs explaining. I don't know what some of these people are doing for a living, some of these newspaper writers. I don't know what you think you people are doing. But all it is it takes me... And maybe somebody like me, to have to unravel and explain this crap that you write. Now, I know that your newspaper's going out of business. I understand. I know that nobody wants to read your garbage anymore. I understand that. I'm sorry, but maybe if you cats had been a little bit more foresighted, if you had realized that the way of the world was the internet, you could continue to do your news reporting and do very good news reporting online. You might have been able to preempt some of these... internet reporters, the drudges of the world, the bloggers of the world, you guys might still be relevant. But you didn't. The people that run your business, because they're stupid, just like the people that, you know, run the radio business and the television business, they're scrambling to catch up because the media is now the interactive media of the internet. That's where it's at. So what you cats are doing is you're writing these news stories. Now you're scrambling to hold on to readership and nobody knows what it is you're talking about. Or worse, people are taking from your stories the wrong impression. Police tasered an 86-year-old disabled grandma in her bed and stepped on her oxygen hose until she couldn't breathe. After her grandson called 911 seeking medical assistance, the woman and her grandson claim in Oklahoma City federal court. That's what they are claiming. Police came in, they tased her, they stepped on her hose, and she stepped on their hose, and,
What do you mean?
Never mind. Though the grandson said, "Don't tase my granny," an El Reno police officer told another cop to taser her and he wrote in his police report that he did so because the old woman took a more aggressive posture in the bed. The police department offers a conflicting story, saying they tasered the woman because she was threatening to kill herself by overdosing on medicine and allegedly threatened officers with a knife. Now, here is the claim by the plaintiff. Lonnie Tinsley claims that he called 911 late last year after he went to check on his grandmother, who he found in her bed, connected to a portable oxygen concentrator. She's in marginal health. She takes several prescription medicines. Anyway, make a long story short, he calls 911 to ask for an emergency medical technician to come to her apartment. In response, as many as 10 cops come in. This is what she claims. The grandma told him to get out of her apartment. Instead of leaving, one officer allegedly instructed another to taser her. Why would she say, get out of my apartment? He stated in his report that the 86-year-old plaintiff took a more aggressive posture. Tinsley says the cops capped it all off by having his grandmother placed in the psychiatric ward at the discretion of the police. Now, here's what the cops say. They said they were forced to taser the woman because she was threatened to kill herself and threatened officers with a knife. They went to the apartment in 2009 after her grandson called for a paramedic. She says her life is over. She wants to end it. She's taken some medicine. I don't know what she's taken, said Tinsley to the 911 operator. I can't get her to tell me what she took. Police Chief Ken Brown said when officers arrived, they found the woman lying on the bed. He said when the woman saw the officers, she ordered them out of her home. That much is consistent with both stories. Brown said the woman pulled a kitchen knife and told officers she was in control of her life. Thomas Duran wrote in a police report she pulled a knife from under her pillow and threatened to kill him. I tried talking to Varner, this is the woman, and calm her down, but nothing would work. Her attorney said police acted inappropriately and could have killed her with the taser shock. He said she was never charged with a crime. Even if you reasonably believe someone's going to commit suicide, do you taser them, the officer said? Yes. Or the attorney said, I should say. He's asking a question. The attorney is doing something an attorney shouldn't do. Ask a question you don't have an answer to. Or maybe you do, but you're asking the question anyway, Charlie. If she's going to kill herself and you think the only way you can prevent her from doing that is tasering her, hell yeah.
What if you kill her?
You know, we're very interested in this thing about what if you kill her with the taser thing. We've looked at the whole taser fatality thing on this show. I don't know if anybody else has. Because I hear people saying, oh, you know, you could kill. Have you ever looked at the statistics? The statistics are that of the people who have died after having been tased, a minuscule percentage of them died as the result, as far as the medical examiner could determine, as the result of that taser. Most, if not all, had been on drugs, had some chemical in their system, or had in some other way besides the taser endangered themselves so that there was a likelihood they caused their own deaths or some ingestion of a chemical or some other substance had caused the death. So the taser's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you know that like the one, how do you know that the taser, an old lady, the heart just stopped?
Hey, bud, I'm just telling you, man, if the doctors, you know, medical examiners have looked at these cases and they say, here's the result of what we've, you know, studied, then that's it.
Yeah, but you don't know because it's made out of electricity. What is? A taser?
It's made out of electricity. Yes, it is.
I mean, the shock is. And that's exactly the thing what makes your brain go and everything.
The thing that makes my brain go?
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about electricity.
The electric impulses in the nervous system. Yeah, okay, I understand. So?
Well, if you put too much in there.
Look, bud, you know, you don't have the science. I don't have the science, all right? So I'm not going to sit here and speculate like a couple of jackballs sitting at a bar. Well, I think maybe because it has electricity.
Yeah, but it could be.
Yeah, man, it could be. If you had a pointed head, man, you'd look like a cone head, too. That could be.
Maybe you do look like a cone head.
Oh, we're really getting a long way with this, aren't we? Maybe you do look like a conehead. Officer Thomas Duran wrote in a police report she pulled the kitchen knife. The attorney says, well, you don't tase them if they're going to commit suicide, do you? Officer Duran reported Varner had looked him in the eyes after he arrived at the apartment and said to him, if you try and get the knife, I will stab you and kill you. I killed 4 Japs in World War II, and I would not bat an eye killing you.
What does she mean, she killed a Jap?
That's what it said. Some woman. Jeez, we didn't even get to Neil Cavuto being called an a-hole. We really have to get to that. Anyway, it sounds to me like a typical... It just sounds to me like another typical old lady that needed to be tased.
You should be kinder about that.
Oh, relax. All right, anyway, Neil Cavuto was arguing the stimulus with some jackass and was called an a-hole.
Ron, I understand
lost,
that, so why keep spending? Why keep spending?
Why don't you let me finish my thought?
Because you never answer it. You never answer
basic
questions.
I'm answering it right now.
Answer. Why will spending more work?
These programs did create jobs, but not net creation. Net and gross. Is that a complex idea?
Wait a minute, Ron. You're the chief economist there.
Absolutely.
Where did you get your degree? I mean, at a baking school? Where are you cooking up these numbers?
Oh,
the fact of the matter is we spent $1 trillion and we've not seen results from that money. And now you're saying, well, it could have been worse had we not.
I just told you we have seen results.
Okay. Anyway, our screener this evening was Tex Hannon. And this is Phil Hendry. And our producer, Jason Rantz. And our technical director, Ralph Rodriguez. Called him an a-hole, huh? Never mind.
Phil Hendry.